When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with people like that?" I want to begin with a confession. After years of labeling myself as a liberal or as a progressive, I have come to realize I'm actually a conservative. It's worse than that. I think I'm becoming more conservative. The more time goes by, the more conservative I realize I am. I'm becoming politically conservative. I have a new appreciation for the Constitution that only gets stronger with every attack on it. Yes, it's an imperfect document, and that's why there are built-in provisions to update and improve it. I love it that the first thing the founders did was say, whoops, we better put some amendments in there to protect people's rights. And I really do think and believe that we are, each of us, endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, including life and liberty and the pursuit of justice, happiness, justice too. But that's how conservative I am. I'm conservative enough to believe in one person, one vote as a bedrock of democracy. I take voting so seriously, I show up for those obscure primary elections when practically nobody's running and nothing much is at stake, and I'm there anyway. I think it's a habit, but it's one I'm okay with. And I don't like it when other people don't bother. And I hate it when people scheme to keep other people away from voting. That's how conservative I am. I'm politically conservative enough to cherish my citizenship and to think that people born in this country are entitled to be citizens, amen? And that people who believe in this country enough to risk life and health and freedom to come here and throw their lot in with us should be able to become citizens. That's how conservative I am. I'm conservative enough to believe that while you have a right to arm yourself, it's only reasonable and conservative to understand that you may not have a right to own a whole arsenal. And I'm conservative enough to think that if you do, there's something a little bit wrong with you. That's how conservative I am. Not only that, I'm discovering that I'm morally conservative as well. I think those Ten Commandments are not bad rules for me to follow or try to. It makes it hard for me to stomach greed from anybody, from real estate developers to politicians to corporations. That makes it hard to do a lot of other things I see around me. I'm even morally conservative when it comes to sexuality. I'm conservative enough to believe that sex should be mutual, that abuse is criminal, that sex is a precious gift of God that should be treated that way. I'm conservative enough to value love and not to tell other people how to love and who to love. I'm conservative enough to know to mind my own business. And I'm becoming socially conservative as well. I think I should treat people with respect. I think that civility is a tradition worth conserving. I think I should try to tell the truth as often as I can. And to expect my friends and my colleagues and even elected officials to tell the truth as well. That's how conservative I am. I find that I'm religiously conservative as well. It's hardly a surprise, considering my line of work. I believe that the best thing I can do, personally, with my life, is to figure out, as close as I can, how to follow Jesus and do my best every day to try to do that. I am so religiously conservative, I take every word in the Bible seriously. Seriously enough not to insist on taking every word literally. Hell, I am conservative enough to have learned Hebrew and Greek and a smattering of Aramaic so I can get closer to the meaning of the text and what the text actually says. That's pretty hardcore. That's pretty conservative. I'm so conservative, I believe Jesus when he ordered us, judge not, so that you will not also be judged. I'm so religiously conservative that I know, because I know Jesus, that there is a time to sit at the table with my friends and my enemies. And there's also a time to turn the tables over and let the money changers scramble for the doors. And I'm conservative enough that I think everyone born is welcome at the table of God. That brings me to the Gospel of Mark. You knew I'd get there eventually. From the first chapter of Mark, we see our radically conservative Jesus walking along the streets, yelling like a street preacher, calling on people to repent and believe the good news that there is a God who loves them and believes in them and is willing to die for them. Today, we're in chapter 2, where Jesus, who has gathered 4 disciples in chapter 1, realizes he's going to need some more help, especially considering the 4 he's got. And so he calls Levi, a corrupt government official, a collaborator with Rome, a guy who's getting rich on the suffering of other people, somebody who is rightly despised by most other Jews. He's a tax collector, Mark says. He's a publican in the King James Version. A publican is a term that probably shows a broader understanding of what's going on. Publican was a contractor who would undertake all kinds of different jobs for the empire, from supplying the Roman legions to overseeing building projects that were built with slave labor. Not a real ethical kind of person, generally speaking. Also not popular in first century Palestine. What on earth did Jesus see in Levi? Mark doesn't say. Mark just says that Jesus is walking along and he sees Levi and he sees what he sees and he sees what Levi does and he just tells Levi, follow me. And what does Levi see in Jesus? Mark doesn't tell us that either. Mark just says that Levi is sitting there at his tax booth, literally minding his own business. And when he hears Jesus, he stands up and he follows Jesus. That's kind of weird, right? There's something a little bit weird. We're used to that story. We're used to the call of the disciples. Everybody says, well, sure, I don't know who you are, but I'll just follow you and leave my rest of my life behind. But it's a little weird. You know what else is a little weird? Where does Levi follow Jesus to? Anybody catch that? Where does Levi follow Jesus to? He follows him. Yeah, thank you, Shirley. He follows him to his own house. Okay, but it's lunchtime. I give him that. It's lunchtime, and they got to go somewhere. And Jesus doesn't have a house. Levi probably has a darn nice house, considering his line of work. And it's a big house, probably big enough for lots of other tax collectors and lots of other sinners. That's what it says in Mark. Well, I've told you about tax collectors already, but what about sinners? You want to know about sinners? You want to know about sinners? Oh, I thought you would. Well, a sinner is somebody who sins. That might sound stupid. Who thinks it sounds stupid? Yeah, I know. It might sound stupid, but I say that to point out that nobody is by nature and constitution a sinner, necessarily, or that everyone is potentially, right? When you sin, you're a sinner. When you avoid sinning, you're not a sinner anymore. Okay, sin itself is an interesting word, and it translates this Greek word used here, which is hamartia. Hamartia comes from an archery term in Greece, which meant missing the mark, missing the target altogether, falling short of the mark. Falling short, it's just something we do. It's something we all do. Falling short of legal or religious or moral law is not that hard to do. So it's easy to see why Levi's house was so crowded that day, if that's who was in there. I'm picturing a space crowded with maybe 20% tax collectors and 80% random other sinners that day as Jesus sits down to have lunch. And of course, not everyone is down with Jesus doing that, right? I mean, you guys weren't a second ago in your appointed role. He gets shade from the scribes and the Pharisees. They don't like it that he's eating with sinners and the Democrats, the publicans and the Republicans, right? Now, of course, a little while later, at least according to Luke's telling of the tale, he is off to have lunch at the house with one of those Pharisees. Jesus is not all that picky. Now, it's not that Jesus doesn't make enemies. He makes a lot of enemies. He just knows what to do with them better than we do. He loves them. He sits with them. He has lunch with them. He talks with them. He listens to them. That's Jesus. He never writes anybody off, even when they criticize him and make fun of him, condemn him, turn on him, set him up, hang him up, and put him to death. Because he practices what he preaches. He believes what he pleads. He understands the Bible to say that we are each made in the image and likeness of God. And he believes that we're put on earth to love God as we love each other. And that means loving the nasty along with the nice. That means loving your anxious uncle along with your nice niece. That means loving your cowardly coworker along with your congenial colleagues, because that's how Jesus was. That's how Jesus is. That is how radically conservative our Jesus is. And that's how I want us to be too, if we can. I know it's not easy, this Jesus stuff, this trying to be like Jesus, this following Jesus stuff. I don't want to pretend that it's easy or make it sound too easy. But I think that the best way to get good at it is to practice. So, after service, I invite you to go downstairs to the social hall for a slightly different coffee hour. You'll be randomly assigned a table, scary, filled with fellow saints and sinners of all kinds, and we would love you to just go with it this once. There'll be a reading there and a couple of questions to share. It won't hurt a bit, and it might help, and it won't last that long. I know that most of us, maybe all of us, are feeling a little nervous about this week, a little nervous about Tuesday, or maybe a lot nervous. I'd like to tell you what will happen on Tuesday, but I have no idea. I'm thinking about Tuesday, but I'm thinking just as hard about Wednesday. Because whatever happens on Tuesday, on Wednesday, we're going to have to do what we have to do. And what we have to do is follow Jesus, whatever happens on Tuesday. And that means sitting at a table with people who may be a little hard to love. And that means conversing with people we may not agree with. And that means making ever more space at God's table for everyone born. Amen? Let's try it. Amen.